Well, good morning, Saints, and welcome again. The weeks are just flying by, and praise God, March is here. And I, for one, have to say I am really glad that March has come, because we know spring's not far away. Amen? Cameron told me this morning, is it 19 days till spring? 18 days till spring. Praise the Lord. But you know, even some of these coldest days that we've had in the last 6 weeks, I guess this has been going on for some time already, 4 weeks for sure, you know, like the minus 40 that we've had a couple of times, you know, all of us know that it's not going to last forever. So it makes it bearable, right? Now, could you imagine if this would be the weather that we would have to live in continually? I don't know. Would we? Cameron figures that's why there's suicide rate up north is so high. Do you think we'd actually get used to minus 40? But we all know that spring is going to eventually come. Why? Well, simply because we trust in the seasons. We know that as sure as there is a winter time, there is going to be a spring and a summer. You know, we can trust so easily in the seasons. Even when we're in the midst of minus 40, we know there's a plus sign coming eventually. And yet we struggle to believe God's truth. We struggle to believe the truth of God's word. And many times when we're in the seasons of calamity, like minus 40, or seasons of adversity, it is so hard for us to actually see springtime. It becomes so real. And yet, we can go through the seasons and we can be in minus 40 and we know, just hang on, because there is a springtime coming. But yet, like I say, when we're in adversity in the world, it's hard sometimes to even see a springtime. But you know, the Bible says, and listen carefully, heaven and earth will pass away. What's that telling us? The seasons we trust in. It's part of the heavens and the earth. And that's going to pass away, God said. But my word will never pass away. So that ought to tell us something. We ought to trust God's word more than we trust in the seasons and the changing and coming to pass from one season to another. So even these seasons that we never doubt will come to an end. But never, never the word of God. God's word is the only truth that will never change. You know, the world has truth. There's truth. But all truth in the world is subject to change. But God's word, never. Now, last week, we began to teach on, and I called it part one, of the Holy Spirit being all that we need, being the fulfillment of the promise, the great promise from our Heavenly Father, and He is all that we would ever need this side of heaven. All that we would ever need, not to just barely get by, but to have a heavenly, divine life. God looks after His children. He didn't take Jesus from us and then just say, okay, now, you know, you do your best. No, Jesus said it's expedient that I go away, because if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And Jesus knew full well what the ramification of the coming of the Holy Spirit was, because that had been promised way back from the beginning of time. But yet the church today does still not understand fully or have entered into the ramification and the glory of the gift or the great promise that God has given us. And that's why I'm going very slowly through different things, because I want us to be able to see more clearly, have a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit, that He becomes more real to us, because on the average, most people ignore Him during the day. And He is just... how could we ignore Him when we really understand what He's all about and what He longs to do for you? And so last week we began by talking about, with the Holy Spirit, You've made it. You've already got everything that you will ever need and more. Now, the Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. Three times, and in fact, more than any other, he is known as the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Wisdom, but we know that truth is wisdom. But he's referred to as the Spirit of Truth. First of all, he bears witness in our hearts to the truth. Now, when I say truth, I'm referring to what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth concerning Jesus. For Jesus is the only truth, the only way, and the only life. And no one, Jesus said, comes to the Father but by me. So the Holy Spirit bears witness to that truth. And I said last week that without the Holy Spirit, you could not come to the Father. Did you know that? We are so dull and so blind, we couldn't even come to the Father or see anything beyond our physical senses without the drawing of the Holy Spirit and without the Holy Spirit shining the light in us to show us the truth. But not only does the Holy Spirit draw you to the truth and open up your eyes to see Jesus and him crucified, he does all of that he might also bring that same truth that he reveals to you into your life. He is the witness to the truth. And he wants to use you also as a witness to that same truth. He is, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or in the Bible study, he is the longing and the yearning deep on the inside of each one of us. That longing and yearning. It is the Spirit longing to bring the manifestation of who you really are in Christ into this world, into reality. You know, sometimes I don't know if you ever have been in prayer and you just sense there's just so much more. There's a longing deep, deep inside of you, knowing there's just so much more. And that's the Holy Spirit longing through you, showing you you are so much more than you are experiencing right now. You are so much more than what you're believing. And if we pray in the Spirit and we give into those longings, he will pray those things through us. You'll be surprised. And we used to call it groaning in the Spirit, moaning, and it's sighing. But there's something on the inside of us that longs, but it's the Holy Spirit, longs for more. And yes, we know that someday we will receive a body just like Jesus has, a glorified body. But in the meantime, that longing is still there because we know, nobody has to tell us, that we are living below the standard of what Christ died to give us. And so the Holy Spirit longs in you to bring that manifestation to pass in your life or to bring it into reality. And we know from last week that we have already been made heirs with all Christ has. We already are sons of the Most High God. We are already endued with all power to bring change into this world. And yet most of us live like we're waiting for God to grant us what it is we need and then rise up and be what he says we are in Christ. We're waiting for something. The church in general is waiting for God to move. And God is saying, no, no, I've already given you all things. I've even endued you with the same power that raised my son out of the grave. I'm waiting on you. What are you going to do with this power? He's already granted it. How? By sending the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the great promise of the Father, who only bears witness to the truth, only to Jesus and the grace that's found in him. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace is the truth. And that's the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal in your life. And those who receive an abundance of grace, reveal truth, will reign in life. Jesus is the truth about God's grace. And that's why we saw last week from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, here the Apostle Paul, who had had a glimpse, a vision of our inheritance in Christ, he prays this prayer for the church because Paul knew and understood that everything good that comes from above hinges on our seeing it and believing it. Hinges on our seeing the truth. So he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to do what? To have knowledge of him. And that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. What's the eyes of our understanding? Our inner hearts. That we could see truth. So that, number one, we would know the hope of our calling. What is the hope of our calling? Romans chapter 8 says, He whom God has predestined, he also called. He who he called, he's justified. He who he justified, made righteous, he also glorified. That is the hope of your calling, glorification. Now, when is that going to happen? We always been thinking in our minds, that's not going to happen until we get to heaven. No, it's already happened. He's already called you. It's all been done. So that's the first thing he wants to enlighten us about. What is the hope of your calling? God wants, God's desire for you, the Holy Spirit's desire for you, and the Son of God's desire for you is that you be transformed into Christ, the image of Christ. And then he says, the second thing is, so that we would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, let's read that again. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. That we would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you ever notice that word his before? Okay, it's not your inheritance, it's his. But where is his inheritance in you? Jesus didn't need an inheritance. He had all things. He's God. So he obtained an inheritance for you. How many of us are enjoying our inheritance? When we think of we're joint heirs together with Christ of his inheritance, we're thinking it's his. And he's up there now enjoying it. Jesus didn't need to inherit anything. He's God. That he has his inheritance. The inheritance that he obtained is in the saints. Are you enjoying your inheritance that Jesus died to give you? Everything he inherited was for us. And this Holy Spirit, his job, so to speak, is to open up our eyes to see that. Not only to know what the inheritance is to see that it's already ours. It was for us. And this inheritance is not for us in heaven. Once we go to heaven, we don't need an inheritance. Everything is perfect in heaven. We don't need money. We don't need healing. There's no sickness and disease. So that inheritance is for this life. And number three, Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Do you know how much power you have? I don't think we do. I think the weather would be changed if we do. The same power, he says, according to the power which he brought about or which happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. That power is in you. The anointing is in you. And you have no need that any man teach you. That anointing abides in you forever. If you have the Holy Spirit, the anointing abideth in you. Have you ever stopped and, you know, just take one day, write that scripture out And all day long, remind yourself of the power that's in you. And see how that won't change your life even in one day. But we're not aware of the power we have. And if you're not aware of it, you're certainly not going to be using it. And then when it does, when your life does call for some power, and you say, oh man, I got authority over that thing, you know what? There is no power. It's like, psst. Because you have not built on the inside of you an awareness day by day of that power. You're not walking in it, and you're not operating in it. It's yours to see the power that is to usward who believe. The more I focus and meditate on that, the more when I approach a prayer or, and I speak, it does something. It's like, wow, I do have the power, and I know that thing has to move. See the power coming from you into your situation, into the sick person, whatever it is you're praying about. See it. If you can't see it, you can't have it. You can't experience it. It's not magic. It's it has nothing to do with you. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you've been given access to use that power. But most of us will go a day, 5 days, a week, and never even think about it. Now, if you were walking around in your hand, if we were one of them guys that straps bombs onto themselves, and is a threat to everybody around them, you'd be aware of the power very much. Because when Jesus said you will be endued with power, the word power we know is dunamis, which means dynamite. You have dynamite power. You can blow up anything the devil is trying to bring against you. Any accusation, any disease, anything that goes contrary to the truth. The Holy Spirit bears witness, and he is the power. You have no power, but he's waiting for you to release him to do it. And that's your part. So I want you this week, do a simple exercise. Take one day and ponder the power that is in you. And I guarantee you, even just one day with you focusing on it and pondering it, will make a difference in your prayer life. The Holy Spirit reveals unto us through the gospel who we are in Christ, the righteousness of God, what we have freely been given in Christ, his inheritance in the saints, and number three, he empowers us to bring these things to pass. He really is all we need. But I know that when we hear a message like this, many people are still left with a sense of, is it really that easy? My goodness, it sounds so easy. Step one, two, three. I don't even like to preach about steps. But I'm not really preaching on steps. I'm just showing you the attributes of the Holy Spirit and what he does in your life. So is it really that easy? And there are so many voices out there. So many voices out there, not just me. You turn on the TV and, now we have access to all kinds of things through the internet. And I'm not talking about anything other than other preachers, people preaching so-called truth. And so my mind goes tilt because I think, these people, there's so many of them. They all truly believe that what they're preaching is the truth, or they wouldn't be preaching it. So that leaves me sitting back and thinking, how do I know I have the truth? How do we know truth even when we hear it? Am I speaking the truth this morning? Because every time we hear something concerning the Bible and the Word of God, and an interpretation of it, we need to ask ourselves. There's nothing wrong with asking yourself that question. I do it all the time. Is this the truth? And at the end of the day, I need to know and understand, how do I know the truth? That has been something, in fact, that very, very thing is the reason I'm standing where I am today. If there was anything in my early Christian days, it was knowing the truth. It was, Lord, I want the truth. Because much of what I was hearing wasn't what I was really reading. It wasn't the way I was picking it up. And I didn't have enough knowledge of the entire Bible to really say, okay, that's false and this is truth. I didn't know. And so I just put it on a shelf. But I wasn't totally, entirely convinced of the truth that I had been hearing. And I began to pray. And Lord, give me the truth. That's all I want, Lord. I want the truth. Because I know in that truth lies every other blessing. That much I knew. So the truth has always been very, very important to me. So how do we know the truth? How do we know when there's so many voices? And that's a really good question. How do I know that the gospel of grace is really the truth? And when I say the gospel of grace, what I'm meaning is that every good thing has been freely given to you. Not just in heaven, but right now. It's already yours. It's done. That's what I believe, what the scriptures teach. How do I know that's true? How do I know that every blessing that Jesus Christ died to impart to us has already been given us through the Holy Spirit? And it's not dependent on your performance. How do I know that's the truth? Because there's many out there that aren't teaching that. That unless you love your brother, God's not going to hear your answers, your prayers. Your faith won't work because faith worketh by love. You hear that in many cases. We also hear that unless you are generous and give bountifully to your brother, God's not going to give it back to you. We also hear that unless you forgive your brother, God will not forgive you, and you cannot be blessed. We also hear that if you have sinned, you need to confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so that gives us the idea that the blessing, even though Jesus has already died to give it to us, and it's ours, but we still have a part to play in obtaining it. And it has to do with our performance. That's what how many times do you read in a magazine or see on TV that you need to forgive your brother? It's unforgiveness that's keeping the blessing from coming into your life. Come on. It's the truth. Unforgiveness is probably one of the number one things. If you're not walking in love, your faith won't work. So all of a sudden, this becomes more complicated. And when things aren't happening the way you think, you're walking by faith, guess what you begin to do? You begin to examine your life. And you begin to find out, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What must I do to change what I'm doing wrong in order to receive the blessing? Now it becomes about you. Your focus is now on you. And I guarantee you, if you start digging around, you're going to find all kinds of reasons why you aren't blessed. And you know what? And as you begin to dig around in your life, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't the Holy Spirit that's going to bear witness with what you find. Because as far as he's concerned, that is already gone. It's done. He bears witness only to the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. And if there is something that's bearing witness to what you find as you dig around, it ain't the Holy Spirit. Because it ain't the truth. Once and for all, Jesus has washed you clean in his blood, washed away all of your sins. All of your sins. How can we love our brother unconditionally when you and I, first of all, haven't experienced the unconditional love of God? How is it possible? If you think you can, that's pride. How can we be generous in our giving when we haven't first received everything from Him? See, people got it all backwards. You give and then God gives. You love and then God loves you. You forgive and then God will forgive you. It's backwards. It all sounds noble. How can we forgive others unless we've known ultimate forgiveness? It's impossible. It's impossible because this is law. This is just the law. And the law was not given. Even though the law is holy and perfect, it wasn't given to make it. It cannot make us holy and perfect, the Bible says. It was only given to lead us to Christ, to make us recognize and realize, I cannot love my brother, Lord. Nothing wrong in admitting to God your weaknesses. He already knows before you open your mouth how weak you are. I cannot forgive my brother, Lord. I cannot give all my money away. Let him in. Let him know where you're at. Receive from him and you will give. We receive first, and that's the message of grace. We need to recognize that we are unable and cannot unless God has given us everything. There is nothing we can do. We're weak, we're flesh. Now that's not an excuse. I'm not saying all that so that we just live any old way. No. But all of the things that we're trying to obtain or that we want to see are all just fruits. I mean, to forgive others is only a fruit that comes from knowing you're forgiven. To really, really have passion and love for other people is only from one place. It's from knowing how much you're loved. I mean, you can fake it till you make it, but I'll tell you, the Bible says have unfeigned love, meaning let it be true, because God knows the heart. I mean, we can change our outward things. We can make it look really good. But what's really going on in the heart? What are your thoughts towards that person? You know, this is the world's way. And this is some of the stuff that we're hearing from our pulpits. And it's still legal. It's still law. Under the law, we can only produce the works of the flesh. Now remember, I'm answering the question, how do we know the truth? And the Bible says that a tree is not known by its work, is it? Well, how do you know a tree? A tree is known by its fruit. The Holy Spirit, okay, we're talking about how we know the truth. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as the truth. The Spirit of truth. So he is the truth. Bears witness to the truth. Brings out the truth. Jesus, so he is the Spirit of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Holy Spirit is the truth. So this truth bears what? Fruit. The truth that you know and that is real truth will bear fruit, not works. I mean, we can look at a lot of people that are preaching these things and a lot of people that believe these things. We won't see, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see good works because that's what the law brings, good works. But what God is looking for is fruit. What is the fruit of truth? Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and temperance. 9 fruits. Now, the truth, when you know the truth, you will be filled with love, joy, peace. That's the fruit that the truth brings into your life. And that's how you will know that you have the truth. Now, if you are a person that is depressed, never any joy in your life, there's no joy or no peace, you can know you're not believing the truth. You haven't seen the truth because the fruit's not there. Because fruit grows naturally, just like on a tree. The fruit doesn't have to do anything to grow. It grows on the vine as the vine or the branch is abiding in the trunk, which the roots bring up the moisture. You see, there's no part that you play except to believe the truth, and these will be the fruits that result from you believing the truth. For example, if you believe that every sin, all your whole lifetime of sins, has been forgiven, does that not bring peace? Now, if you believe differently, is the same peace there? No. So what I'm saying is when you approach a truth, you got to ask yourself, what fruit is this going to produce in my life by believing this? And you can know and gauge even how much truth you have by the fruit that you see from these in your own life. So it's truth we need to produce fruit, not the law. Truth. It's all about truth. So these are the fruits that grow in us when you believe the truth. And they happen without us trying to. You're not going to try to love. It's impossible. That's what I'm trying to tell us. We can put on a good show, but it has to come from the heart. And you can't change your heart. Only the Spirit can. And the truth can change you. That's why Jesus said, the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what that means? Free forever. You know why? Because his word never changes. His goodness never changes. So there are many so-called truths out there in the world today. That there's only one truth that will birth this fruit. Only one truth in our lives. And if the fruit is not in our life, if we can look and say, you know, we need to be honest, I don't have the joy I need to have, then you could know that you're not believing the truth. Or you haven't seen the whole truth yet. But being and putting yourself under the law does not produce fruit. It produces works. Works of the flesh. And the Bible calls these works dead works. So now, with the understanding of the Holy Spirit and how he works, because he works through truth, tell me, honestly, what grieves the Holy Spirit or what makes him sad? You know, we talk about grieving the Spirit. I've sat under many teachings on grieving the Spirit. And most people, most Christian people, would tell you that it's sin that grieves the Spirit. But is it sin? No. If it is the Holy Spirit of truth, and he's all about revealing the truth in your heart, in your mind, transforming your mind, because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind with the truth, and then demonstrating the truth, what grieves him? It's when we reject the truth or don't believe the truth. It's that simple. It makes him very sad. Do you know why? Because unless you believe the truth, he cannot bring it to pass in your life. Because without that truth, you cannot have faith. Truth is vital. It's so vital. We need to see the Holy Spirit as truth. Witnessing the truth. Even from the beginning, he was there with God, the Spirit of truth. Every word that came from the mouth of God, the Spirit confirmed it. That's what he does. Confirms it. God said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. So the moment God's word was out of his mouth, which is truth, the Holy Spirit brought the light to pass, and God saw it with his eyes. So the Holy Spirit was present right in the beginning with God. God spoke, then God saw. Here we see the Holy Spirit at work, even from the beginning. And you know, the Holy Spirit, when he came on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us he came as a rushing, mighty wind. And he filled every believer in that room. The Holy Spirit, you need to see his heart. He's a person, and he is so eager to bring you. He's excited about getting you. He's working with you so that you can enjoy your inheritance. He cares about you. He loves you. Nothing gives him greater pleasure than when you work together with him and bring about all of your inheritance that Jesus died to give you. Do you understand? He's a person. He cares for you, just like Jesus cares for you. And he yearns to bring you that life that he knows belongs to you. And it saddens him when we reject the truth, or when we don't believe the truth, or even act on the truth. So he's very eager. You need to see this. He's not like hanging on thinking, oh, now he wants more money. Man. You know, we get this idea that he just like, haven't you got enough yet? Don't you think you're okay? You know, think about them starving children over in India. You know, like, that's not the Holy Spirit. He wants you so blessed so that you can send money over there to those starving children in India. He wants you overflowing with life, that it touches people around you, that people stop and ask you, what's going on in your life? How did this all happen? He wants it to be noticeable, just like it was noticeable in the life of Jesus. People noticed his authority. Why do you think thousands of people walked and followed him? Because the Holy Spirit was continually confirming truth, bringing it into the natural. And he wants to do the same thing in your life. And I know in the past, you know, we might be sitting here thinking, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've never seen this type of a life. Well, you get ready for a new life. I believe we're in the last days, and I believe God is doing a new thing. That Holy Spirit that has been in us is going to come to light. And that's why I'm preaching on it. And I know there's many that are too. Because it's all going to be, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. Because I know that before Jesus comes back, there has to be a greater outpouring. There has to be something that is going to happen. Many people are going to get saved. And how does God work on the earth? Through his church. And so the church needs to wake up and realize, okay, I need to live according to what God says, who I am, what I have. And you know, every day, have an expectancy. Don't get up and in your mind think, well, today's going to be the same as yesterday. You know what? You have the power to change today in you. It would cause a spring in your step, an excitement as to what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, I realize that so many times when I get up in the morning and I think, okay, Lord, you know, today's going to be like yesterday and blah. You know, boring. Don't put the Holy Spirit in a box in your life. Get excited. You've got that power within you. I mean, take it into the natural. Think of it. Man, I mean, wow, I can pray over anything. Use it. So the Holy Spirit is more eager than you are to confirm what Jesus has already accomplished in you through the cross and to bring that truth to pass in the natural. Okay, we always talk about these wonderful blessings that we have, and then we spiritualize it. Well, you know what? Well, if all of the blessings that Jesus had were only spiritualized, nobody would have ever seen anything. People can't see in your spirit to see how holy you are or how wonderful God is. No. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring it out to where it can be seen through you. It's already done inside, but he wants it to manifest outside of you. And all we need is the truth, is to know that truth, to believe that truth, and to act on it. And when we don't, it grieves the Spirit. And what grieves the Spirit grieves Jesus, because the Bible says the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Unbelief grieves the Holy Spirit, even as it grieves Jesus. I mean, think about when he was on the earth. What grieved him more than when they just didn't believe? He was grieved. Even though he said, you've seen the signs that I've done and performed, and you still don't believe. It grieved him greatly. Grieved him greatly. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, pardon me, Jesus was so grieved that he wept. Verse 41 of Luke chapter 19 says, when he was come near, he beheld the city. Which city was that? Jerusalem. It's where his brothers were dwelt. And he wept over it, saying, if you had only known the day in which the things which belong unto the day, if you have only known in this day the things which belong unto your peace. But now these things are hidden from you. If you had only known. You know, we've got a short life in this world. Short. We think it's long, it ain't. If you had only known what makes for your peace, your wholeness, your shalom. Believing the truth. Then at the end of verse 44, Jesus says this, because you know not. Then he says, your eyes have been closed to it now, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Even today, do you know the time of your visitation? In the world today, what is it that people seek after and run after? We're all looking in the end for the same thing, just our way of getting there, right? It's true. I mean, people want to have a good life. They want to enjoy life. They want to be healthy, look after their families well. But in the world, people are running after money in order to live a good life. Right? I mean, you need money to survive. You need money to buy food. You need money to pay your rent and drive a vehicle and go on holidays and do all that good stuff. You need money. And so the world is running after money. But in God's kingdom, it is truth. Truth that opens up God's presence and brings money. Money is one of them. It is truth. You got to see this. It's truth I need. It's not money. It's more truth. They are the keys. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're this and that. And then he says, but never mind that. Who do you say that I am? And remember Simon or Peter pipes up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. In other words, you cannot know that except from the Spirit of God. And then he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. And upon this rock, what rock is he referring to? Upon this truth, I will build my church. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom. What is the keys to the kingdom? Truth is the key to the kingdom. If you don't know that by his stripes you are healed, you don't believe that, you're not going to enter into kingdom health. The key to the kingdom is the truth. It's all about the truth. Believe only. Believe only. Well, we have to believe something. You have to believe the truth. Notice the blessing is given when the truth is revealed. In other words, what he's saying is you are blessed because you have the truth. He didn't say you're blessed because you have lots of money or you're blessed because of this or that. No, you're blessed because you have the truth. Do you know how blessed we are for hearing the truth? Do you know how blessed we are for knowing what we have from the Lord? There is no greater blessing. There is no money that can compare to what you have right inside of you, the treasure of the truth that you know. You need to treasure it. Make much of it. Don't be like Esau, who sold the blessing for a bowl of food. And many of us are. We're trading it. We don't realize what we have. Then he said, I will give the keys of the kingdom unto you. In other words, the truth of the kingdom. And whatever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, you will bind things on earth because you know the truth about what is bound in heaven. That's what he's saying. You will loose things on the earth because you know the truth of what has been loosed. It's the truth that gives you the power to bind and loose. You cannot loose something that you don't know is loosed in heaven. You cannot loose healing to someone else when you don't know that it's been already loosed. So the blessing follows truth. The truth always brings blessing. And his church is going to be established on this truth or on by the truth, by believing the truth, and it will be the key to the kingdom blessings. Truth. Wow, the blessing God has given us. And nothing pleases God more than we, his children, when we value them, make much of them, and pursue them by seeking the truth. There is never a time where you can say, oh, I'm arrived. I mean, I know it all. Sorry, that day's not going to come until we're out of here. But in the meantime, what brings God pleasure? There's a very short story in the Old Covenant in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And we've heard it. I know we're familiar with this. And it's the story of a man named Jabez. Now, really, this scripture is thrown in to a genealogy of the tribe of Judah. Now, we know that our Lord Jesus sprang from the tribe of Judah, okay, which is interesting, but they give all kinds of names. You know, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and they had four sons, and then he married so-and-so, and they begot so-and-so, and the names just keep rolling. Most of them I can't even pronounce. And then it comes down to verse 9, and it says this, and Jabez, in all of this, all these names, was more honorable than all his brethren. More honorable. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Because I bear, so obviously Jabez, yes, and I looked it up, it means sorrow, to be sorrowful. So she called his name Jabez, which means sorrow. Now, who else was born out of sorrow? Who was born from sorrow, out of sorrow? The church. The church was birthed into new life by the sorrow of Jesus. Jesus was despised. Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, Jesus was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus endured sorrow that we might be born of the Spirit. So Jabez is really a picture of the church because the church was birthed from the sorrow of Jesus. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. What does it mean to enlarge my coast? Ask God to enlarge your capacity to receive. You know, it's how we see the truth. It's how small, narrow we are. That's the only amount we can receive. Ask the Lord to enlarge your coast. Enlarge your ability to believe and receive from Him. And that your hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So bringing this into the here and now and in the church, what does God see as being honorable when his people long for the blessing, seek him for it, ask him for it? That honors God. And in turn, he honors us with the blessing. Don't think that, oh, I can live without it. I know this isn't God's best, but you know, there's more important fish to fry, and God has bigger things to worry about than my little this or my little that. That's our attitude. That's not honorable before God. What is honorable is when you are ever seeking Him to know the truth. And in finding that truth, you will see the blessing. You will be able to receive the blessing, because you'll have a revelation of the fact that it's yours. And this is something that we need to do every day of our lives. Every day of our lives is to seek the truth. There's never going to come a day where you can finally put your feet up and say, I know it all. It is a lifelong search. So I challenge us this week, go to the scriptures. And before you even open it up, ask the Spirit of Truth to show you truth, to show you the truth. You'll be surprised. Seek to know the truth. When you hear something, don't just take everything you hear as truth. That doesn't mean you just shut everything off and, you know, throw it away. No, but meditate on it. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you. Take it through the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Would this produce joy in me? Peace? Love? And if the answer is no, then you know it ain't truth. Because the truth will have fruit in your life. Amen? And that's how we're going to know the truth. So really, the Holy Spirit, that's what He wants to do, is reveal truth. He wants to reveal it to your heart. Then He wants to reveal it to your mind until it's transformed. And then He wants to reveal it in your life. Wow. And let's cooperate. He works together with us. And that's where praying in the Spirit comes in. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word.